Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast. I am your host, Dr. Paul Etchison. I had a really, I just say it all the time, but I just really loved this interview. This is not a dentist. This is a doctor. It's another Dr. Paul. There is another Dr. Paul. There's probably a million Dr. Pauls, but it's another Dr. Paul, a psychologist and someone who had written some books on workplace culture, workplace appreciation. I can't tell you how many things I heard him say during this podcast that I was like, yes, 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 absolutely. This is the stuff that we need to listen to. If we have a fantastic and a great team and a great culture, I think a lot of the issues that we have in our practices would really just work themselves out. So this is one you do not want to miss. And this was one I very much enjoyed doing the interview on. So let's stop talking about it and let's get to the interview.
The Dental Practice Heroes Podcast, where successful dentists share their best systems, methods, and lessons learned to help you achieve early financial freedom through profitable practice ownership. We're here to talk about operating a successful dental business through communication, strong leadership, and by being the hero for your patients and your team.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, where we believe that armed with knowledge and intentionality, anyone can become the hero that their practice needs and deserves. I'd like to welcome my guest. He is a psychologist, speaker, and leadership expert who makes work relationships work. He has been interviewed by the New York Times, BBC News, and other international publications. He is also the co-author of the best-selling book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, which has sold over 575,000 copies. So please welcome to the podcast, Dr. Paul White. What's happening, Dr. White?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. I mean, we've got a lot in common. Like, you are also a Paul. I'm a Paul. And we're both Dr. Pauls. And I've written two books, and you've sold 575,000 copies, and I've sold just a little over 10,000. So we're pretty similar, in, except for that last part, but
that's a good amount.
I'm excited to have you on, man, because like the culture of dental practices, like I would hope that if somebody asked somebody in the dental industry who is the culture warrior, I would hope that they would say me. That's something that's near and dear to my heart, and it's something I strongly believe in, and I've written in my books about it. I just love what we're going to talk about today. So like, I would just say like, we're going to talk about like appreciation and gratitude and just creating great team culture. Why do you think, and I guess we could talk specifically to dentistry, but I think it doesn't matter what industry you're in, why do you think it's so often overlooked by leaders as something that's important to focus on?
Well, partly, I mean, especially in businesses, they aren't trained about it. It's not part of their education at all until very recently, and even now it's pretty little. I mean, it's mainly about financials, about results and all that. And we've gotten into a culture that's focused on results, which can focus on achievement and efficiency. And those are important things. We need to get our stuff done. But somewhere in there, we lost the person of who we're working with and who's working for us. And it's just unfortunate. I think it's been a focus of results and finances. And you see it in the media all the time. People that get rich real quick. And you don't hear too much about people who treat their staff really well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you think there's like been like a workplace shift? I think about how my dad was raised, and it was, you show up quiet, you leave quiet, you shut up, you put your head down and you get your work done. And I feel like now the millennials have come out and everyone's like, the millennial workforce, this is different. And now we're seeing the new generation come out and we're like, this is more about feelings and purpose and stuff. I mean, what would you say about that?
Each generation in different cultures focus on different things. And the younger workers have looked at my generation and maybe yours to some degree of focusing on work and getting things done and maybe possessions and all that, say, you know, it really didn't create a great childhood or family for me. I'd like to do it differently. And, or that for them, a career is different than what it was for us. So yeah, there's different values that are coming in, and a lot of it is good. There's some balance that has to happen there because you still have to serve your customers or your patients, right? And do that well. Otherwise you're not going to be in business for very long.
Now, if you had to say ranking the qualities of a leader, I guess in order of importance, and not in order of importance, but where do you think appreciation and gratitude would fall on that continuum as importance of leadership qualities?
I would say it's in the top five for sure, because what we're finding as far as businesses, that businesses that focus on appreciation and their staff feel valued and appreciated outperform similar businesses who don't focus on that, to the point that the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is writing rules and regs that publicly traded companies have to document what they're doing about how they're treating their employees and training them and attitude kinds of things, because it makes a difference to investors, because companies that pay attention to that work better. I mean, I use the sort of the image of oil in a machine. You have a machine, it's got parts working together, got friction, right? Heat, maybe sparks. It starts to takes more effort to get the work done, maybe get stuck. And I think appreciation's like the oil in a machine and helps it work together well so that it doesn't take as much effort. You have better results and things go well for you.
What you're saying is reminding me of a coaching client that I talked to recently. I mean, labor market's tough right now. Small team practice is ready to grow, just can't find the people, and he keeps losing, turning over people. And a lot of the people that he's turning over are from an office that he acquired. So it's a different culture, okay, a different sort of thing.
Right.
But he's just so scared that everyone's going to leave. And I was talking to him on the phone last week, and I said, hey, why don't you just sit down and one-on-one with everybody, just let them know, just be honest about your feelings. Tell them how you feel. Say like, hey, I just want you to hang on with me. We're going to get through this together. And ask them how things are going there and just find out, just listen. And I told him to do this. And he said, personally, I feel so much better that my team values me and appreciates me, but I was also able to express appreciation to them. And I feel like I can sleep at night and I'm not worried about losing that next person. And to speak to your, like what you talk about, we struggle often as leaders to do this. What are some obstacles that get in the way of us doing this sort of stuff?
There's really sort of four, I think, fine misbeliefs or misconceptions about appreciation that get in the way for leaders. One is that they think that appreciation and employee recognition are the same thing, and they're clearly not. They can overlap, but employee recognition is pretty systematic. It's organizational. It's not real personal. Authentic appreciation really has a different quality of feel to it. Secondly, that a lot of leaders think appreciation, the goal is to make people feel good and happy. And that's fine. We want that to happen. But really, it's about helping the organization function well, right? And so that things get done and that people cooperate and aren't territorial and show up and don't leave. Third, that appreciation is the same thing as words. That if you just say things, give them a compliment, say thanks, whatever. But our research, which over 375,000 people, show that words is less than half of employees' primary way that what they want to be shown appreciation. So if you only use words, you're missing at least half of your team members and how they really want to be appreciated. And the last one is that leaders think that it's mainly for leaders to do. And yeah, we want leaders and supervisors and managers to be involved. But what we found is that it's key to teach team members how to show appreciation to one another, for a couple of reasons. One, the manager can't carry it all. I mean, it's too much weight and responsibility. Secondly, younger employees are more impacted and concerned about their peer relationships than they are top-down relationships. So you're really hitting them where they're at. With regards to turnover, research out of MIT this last year during the Great Resignation found that people not feeling appreciated was three times more predictive of team members leaving than pay or compensation. We've got to get that message through to leaders, practice leaders and professionals, that it's just not about increasing the pay scale.
And I think even just you mentioning that that's an important thing. I mean, we're trying to run an efficient and well-run office, and turnover makes it really hard. And the more turnover we have, the less people we have to train new people, and the less trained the new people are, the more we get turnover. So it's like this never-ending cycle loop that just, it can kill an organization. I want to go back to, you said recognition is different than appreciation. I believe that's what you said, but can you just say more about that? What do you mean?
Yeah, traditionally employee recognition, one form is like for how long they've been there. Okay, they've been there 5 years and you get them a gift card or a pen or something, which is not real motivating. But largely it's about performance, that you recognize people that are doing well, reaching their goals, maybe doing above and beyond. But we believe that employees are people. You're a person, I'm a person. We have lives outside of work. We have characteristics at work that aren't related to productivity that have value. I mean, I like to work with cheerful people more than grumpy people. That's not going to show up on their performance review, but it makes a difference. Or people that don't create drama and people that can handle stress. We really believe that appreciation is person to person. And one of the cool things about that is it frees up. It's not top down within the organization that you've got. the practice owners and then the managers and supervisors. It can go from person to person, go up the ladder too. I mean, that the receptionist tells the doc, thanks for handling this difficult patient and really appreciating that. And it can be across departments too. Maybe somebody that your IT person helps out somebody in accounts payable or whatever, gets their computer work. They don't report to one another, but they're able to show appreciation to one another. And it's not just based on performance, partly because research has shown the top 10 or 15% in any group are the ones that get recognized repeatedly. You've got the big middle 50 to 60% are solid people. They're showing up. They're doing the best they can. Maybe they're growing. But if you don't show appreciation to them, they don't hear anything. Then you go to the other research that shows 79% of the people who leave say a lack of appreciation is the main way they leave. So then you're setting yourself up to lose these people by not appreciating. So it's key, and like with what you were saying about, you've got to identify your key team members you do not want to lose, whether that's your lead hygienist or office manager, and make sure that they feel valued and appreciated in the ways that are meaningful to them. One of the problems is we tend to show appreciation in the way that's meaningful to us, but that's not true for everybody else.
Yeah, it's funny that you tell that story because it's reminding me of when I brought up in a team meeting at one point to my whole team, I said, hey guys, have you ever noticed that I always like say thank you? And I notice when you guys do small things and I really try to show that I appreciate it. They're like, yes, I love that about you. They're like, I always tell people you're so good at that. I love you. And I said, sometimes like, I don't want to be needy, but it would be nice to hear it this way sometimes.
Yeah,
and I said, exactly. Also, it'd be nice to hear you guys say it to each other. Like it can't just be top down. And I remember after that meeting, the culture kind of changed in regard that they started noticing each other doing things. And I occasionally got a thank you or a wow, that's you're great, you know, and not just on Boss's Day, my birthday or Christmas or something. Let's unpack the idea behind your book a little bit, because I heard you say that if you appreciate people the way you like to be appreciated, sometimes you can miss a whole entire large percentage of your team. So why don't you talk about the five languages of appreciation in the workplace?
So pretty straightforward. Words of affirmation are words that are affirming. We affirm the value that we see in that person. It can be related to a job well done. It can be about a personality characteristic that we value in them, that they're dependable or honest or cheerful. And it could be oral or written. It's the main one that's used in the workplace. 46% of people choose that one. I think that's partly they've been sort of trained that way, but it works. Key factor about that, a lot of people don't want to be praised in front of other people, so you have to be careful about that. Second language is quality time. It's about 26% of the workforce, so one out of every four. There's a difference generationally. This is where older employees and team members, we sort of learned that quality time was time with our supervisor manager, that we got their attention and focus. So we value that. Younger workers really want time with their colleagues. They want to go out to lunch together, go out to work, maybe get together and watch sports or something like that. So if you're a practice leader or manager and your team member has quality time, doesn't mean they want time with you, okay? You may be wonderful, great, but it's like they want to hang out with their colleagues. Third language is acts of service, which is not rescuing sort of a low performing colleague. It's really small things that can help their day go better. I mean, one example in a dental practice would be when you're sort of backed up. You've had some emergencies call in that you're fitting in and you've got patients waiting and all that. What can you do that can maybe help out the front desk or the doc? They're the people that if you talk to them all the time, it may not go well because for them, words are cheap. Don't tell me you support me, show me. You got to do it. And it's about 21%, so one out of every five. Tangible gifts is the next one. It's not bonuses. It's not raises. It's just small things that show that you're getting to know your team members. It could be bringing in their favorite cup of coffee or tea. Maybe when you order donuts or bagels, you know you get the kind that you know that they like. It can be maybe bringing in a magazine from the grocery store about a hobby that you know they're starting to do a garden or they're starting to coach their kids' soccer team. And so you find a thing with, could even be online, a website that has training activity. So it's about the person. It's that you're thinking about them, you're getting to know them. It's that personal connection. And that's really the point where it's the thought that counts. It's not how much money you spent on it. It's that you thought about them and sort of matched that up. And then physical touch is the one that people always ask about. It's really spontaneous celebration in our culture. It's a high five when you finish a project or a fist bump, you solve a problem. It could be a pat on the back or a congratulatory handshake of maybe reaching a goal. It's less than 1%. It's always the recipient that sort of determines whether they want that kind of touch or whatever, and it differs regionally. But for our Latin and Hispanic friends and maybe Italian and Spanish, they're more physical, and not having any touch feels very cold and impersonal to them. So it can be really meaningful in an appropriate relationship and in the appropriate time.
Now, I think the listeners probably just got a whole bunch of ideas from everything you just said there. Do you recommend that we try to discover how our employees want to be appreciated, or do we just try to shotgun and just hit them with everything? And I don't know about getting 1% for high fives. I think I might just let that one go and just whoever.
There you go. This has really been a problem. I mean, that people try to do everything. They write a card to everybody at Christmas time or stop by, and that's just not efficient, right? And people are busy, and part of our sort of intervention is to teach you how to do the right thing that makes a difference to the recipient, so you're not doing things that people don't matter. And so we created an online assessment. It's called the Motivating by Appreciation Inventory. A code comes with the book, or you can just buy codes for your team. And it identifies each person's primary and secondary language of appreciation, their least valued one, which is sort of your blind spot. It's one that's not important to you, don't think about, but you're going to have team members that have that. And then the actions within your language. In the workplace, we found that just knowing the language isn't sufficient, because if you think time is one-on-one and they want to hang out with their friends, you're still going to miss. So we created an assessment. It's been taken by almost 400,000 people, and it's in 9 languages, Spanish, French, Chinese. Because to be honest, Paul, asking somebody, say, like, if I want to show you appreciation, what should I do?
Yeah.
That's a weird conversation in our culture. And you're not going to get much. They're going to say, I don't know, tell me thanks. I mean, that's all they're going to sort of say. What's cool also is we can create a group profile and summary for the team to know how to show appreciation to one another, because that's what we want, right? It's cool to find out sort of and identify what's important to you, but it's more important to find out what really hits the mark for your colleagues.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to share a recent success story I just heard about. 6 months ago, Dr. Dushyant Patel of Sumner Dental Group in Tennessee reached out to Relevance Marketing because he wasn't receiving a whole lot of traffic from his website or anything online. Relevance expanded the online presence by listing the dental office in all the online directories with consistent information, which is super important, fixing any errors, along with redesigning his website using content that Google upranks, all the while keeping aesthetics and search keywords in mind. They then began to publish blogs and information relevant to dentistry using the search keywords for their area. Now, in just a few months, Sumner Dental was in position number 1 or number 2 on the Google Map Pack and organic listings for almost every single dental keyword. They saw an 88.9% increase in phone calls, as well as 115% increase in interactions with their Google Business profile. Now, if you think having your phone ring almost twice as often with new patients could really change your practice, well, you're right. If you're looking for a transparent, no contracts, no BS, and results-driven online marketing program, look no further than RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com. It's who I've been using for almost 5 years. Can't say enough good things about them. Hey, mention the Dental Practice Heroes podcast and you'll get your first month free. Go to RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com to schedule your free demo today. That's www.RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com. Have you found that well-performing teams tend to have the same language?
Actually not, no. We have these different percentages. What's interesting is the younger employee, the more likely they're to have quality time. Words is still the most frequent one for even those in their 20s, but it's time has grown from 26 to 36%. There's some cultural differences. Asians, like in Singapore, because we do it internationally, like acts of service more than words. You help them advance in their career. But as far as teams go, it's really sort of interesting that not only do the language differ, but sometimes if the language is the same, the actions differ. And then we facilitate a discussion about, okay, why do you value that? The reason differs as well. So it's really sort of a fun exercise to go through as a team.
That's really interesting. Now, if we're hearing this and we're saying, you know what, I'm really lacking in this department, I think I want to change. How do we change our behavior with our teams without them seeing the change and saying, like, hey, did you double up on your antidepressants today? What's going on? Like, this is, or what's,
yeah.
How do we make this not strange?
Yeah. So actually, there's a chapter in the book called The Weirdness Factor. Oh, okay. And the Weirdness Factor is when you go through a training, because we provide training resources for teams to go through and go through it. And then now everybody's supposed to do this. It feels pretty weird. And really what it is you got to give each other the benefit of the doubt. It's tough to change anyway. It's really tough when you're thinking people are questioning your motives or sincerity. I just say, give people the benefit of the doubt. And I give sort of a sentence to him. I say, I know you may think that I'm just doing this because I just read this book or I just went through this training, but I really do value, and people typically will accept that.
Yeah, I like that answer. I mean, it's saying that we do appreciate, sometimes we just don't show it in the best way. I'm thinking of a situation with a front desk employee. One time I said, you know what? I don't think I've ever given this girl a compliment. And I went and I said, hey, I noticed how you answered the phone. You talked to the patient the other day. It just sounded really good. And she just had this look. She's like, okay. And she's like, did I do something wrong? And it's like
that was. She thought it was a setup,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like I was going to give her the compliment, criticism, compliment sandwich or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I just wanted to let you know. But it goes to show you that when it's out of the norm, they're kind of taken back. Like, what is this? What is going on? Like, I don't get it. So I love what you're doing here. Talk a little bit more about your training and how this applies to dental teams, because you mentioned how they can take the personality quiz or whatever that will let them know what their appreciation is. But what else is in this that you provide?
I grew up professionally in the social service and not-for-profit world where people give a lot, but they don't have much money for training. And so I wanted to create low-cost training resources. So we created an Appreciation at Work training kit. It's got videos, PowerPoint slides you can use, handouts, a facilitator's guide. If you've ever led any kind of just structured process, you can go through it. It has the questions, activities. You can set aside a half day and take your team through it. Or if you have a big sort of multi-site practice, you can do different teams at different times. It just helps people understand and apply the concepts structurally. So it's fun. We've had, I don't know, thousands of people go through it. And we actually, I can send you an article you can post that the New York Times wrote about us with miners, a group of miners that you wouldn't think like these guys are big into appreciation, but they actually, we have symbols for the different languages and they had stickers made for their hard hats. And
oh, you're talking about like people mining coal and like mining. Okay. I was thinking like miners, like under 18 people. I'm like, man,
that's some wild social
skills for a teenager. Wow.
Yeah. No, truck drivers and cement truck drivers and people who mine stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I gotcha. So if someone listening is saying, hey, like this all sounds great and stuff, this fluffy stuff, trying to make it practical for someone, not so they can manipulate people for financial benefit, but rather where it shows up in other places in the workplace, when you do have this culture of appreciation and you've got people feeling respected and valued, where does this show up on, I don't want to say bottom line, but I'm kind of asking you, where do you see it?
That's fair. In chapter 2 of our book, I got over 50 citations and research shows it reduces tardiness as far as both coming in and back from breaks and back from lunch. It reduces calling in sick when you're not really sick, calling in people getting hurt on the job or saying that they are. It reduces employee theft. It increases customer service ratings. It increases productivity. It increases actually profitability. It decreases conflict over stupid little things in the office, like who gets to do what in what office. Yeah. And managers enjoy their work more. A lot of good things happen. And also less territorialism. People that like, this is my thing and don't be touching it. It just creates a more positive, cooperative workplace that people enjoy working at. We've been doing this for 12 years and it continues to grow. And we do it in dental and orthodontic practices and medical practices, schools, NASA uses it, Mayo Clinics uses it. It's fun to see because it's not hard intellectually to understand and it's not hard to remember and it can be fun to do. I mean, you do it with a sense of humor and it goes well.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is that everybody has more than enough skills to do this. I mean, this is not difficult things to do. It's just things you have to do.
The other cool thing, is that it doesn't have to be top down. In other words, in fact, I don't encourage practices or businesses to say, okay, everybody does this, because that undermines the perceived authenticity. I mean, I think you educate people and then you let them apply. And there's going to be some people that don't get it or aren't into it. Your supervisor doesn't have to buy it for you and the team to do it. We've done that a lot where it just sort of goes around people because not everybody's into it. And I just ask people to not be obstructive about it, get in the way, but let people do what they want.
Well, if the listeners want to enlist in this program and get your training, where can they find it?
Our mothership website is appreciationatwork.com. So it's the word at appreciationatwork.com. Got information about the book, about the assessments. And in fact, if you want, I mean, I'd be glad to send people a sample, a report of the assessment, the dental version.
That'd be great.
Just have them email me at yesdrpaul@gmail.com, and I'll send them out a sample so they can see it.
Excellent. Well, let's move on to a segment where we share little systems that add up to big results. Dr. White, what is your little system?
Start somewhere with somebody. Okay. Don't wait and try to make the whole thing work. Just identify somebody that either needs to be encouraged, that if they didn't do what they do, your day would be a lot tougher. Mm-hmm. The key is to be specific. Don't just say, hey, I'm glad you're part of the team or good job, but really say, man, I really value when you prepare the room for when we're going to start with a patient and we're good to go. And that makes it easy for me to flow and go. So tell them what they do and why it's important, and things will start to grow for you.
I love that. I've actually mentioned to both of my dental assistants, I've had one for 14 years and the other one I've been with for 12 years now. And I've said to them multiple times, I love how when we see patients, it's like we're both treating the patient. They're not just waiting for me to tell them what to do. They're thinking, they're offering input. They're handing out things before I ask for them. It's like we're dancing together and we're both working on the patient rather than them just assisting me. And I've noticed that with them. And I love to tell them that. And I think they appreciate it. I hope so. All right, let's move on to the segment where we celebrate that all of us are human and none of us is perfect. Dr. White, let's get real.
Everybody get down. It's about to get real in here.
What is the biggest struggle at your business right now, and what are you doing about it?
Wow. So presently, I only have five team members, and two of them are dealing with chronic sickness, and they are the two that sort of cover for each other. Fortunately, so far, they've been able to alternate days, but just trying to figure out about that sort of cross-training piece, maybe for somebody that's even outside of that position, and how to be compassionate, because they're hurting. I mean, it's not like they're just, you know, going out fishing or something like that,
Yeah. But
also dealing with the reality of how it impacts our work and the other team members.
Yeah, I could see that. If you could go back in time to the beginning of your career, what do you wish you could tell yourself?
Relax. Don't kill yourself. I worked hard. I had three kids when I went through my PhD and working part-time jobs, and it wasn't good for my health. It wasn't good for my wife's health. And it's just like, chill a little bit. Things will work out.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Ty Hardoon at Colorado Surgical Institute. Dr. Brisky and myself have really enjoyed doing these podcasts with Dr. Etch and talking about everything clinical. So keep your guys' feedback coming. It really helps us curate what we're going to be talking about on the podcast. If you want to learn how to do live patient surgeries and actually do the work yourself with the guidance of Dr. Brisky and myself, come out and see us. We're in Northern Colorado. We're just north of Denver, and we can have you do anything from single implants to wisdom teeth to IV sedation to oral sedation, bone blocks and GBR and sinus lifts, vertical and lateral, and full arch with the whole digital workflow using photogrammetry, 3D printers, mills, and all of the above. So we're here to help. Reach out to us. You can call Chris Richards, our director, at 970-420-6148, and he will definitely have a hero discount for you guys because we love Paul and we love DPH.
So I always wonder if there's anyone who hears that advice and they go, you know what, I'm going to chill out. Or I feel like everybody has to get to a certain like rock bottom where they're like, okay, this is what they meant. I've heard this before. I should have known, but they have to experience themselves. I mean, that's been my experience at least. All right. Share a story where you learned a valuable business lesson from an experience or the hard way.
There was a period of my career where I consulted with family owned businesses and practices dealing with business succession issues. And I was the family guy. I dealt with the family issues. One of the things I learned from a colleague that I was collaborating with was the way to sort of be successful in business, or a way, is to go for really the high end and charge a lot of money and provide just super out of the atmosphere kind of service, which takes a lot of resources. Or you sort of stay low and try to keep it low cost, but provide to a lot of people. And the middle part is where people die. Businesses die because It's sort of where everybody is. It was helpful for me as I thought about our businesses. I'm going to go for the everybody. That's what our assessments are, $25 or less versus most employment related ones are a lot more than that, or training is low, just so that it could be applied, because we have inner city ministries and schools use our stuff, nonprofits. I'm thankful for that. It wears you out. I've served the top, but man, you got to be on your game to keep in front of them.
Yeah, that's true. And I love what you're doing. I mean, you're helping a lot of people. And I think this is, like you said, this is not something that is taught to us. I mean, this is something we learn through growing up from our parents probably. And sometimes they weren't taught by the best teachers either. And somebody's got to change it. Love it. All right, let's move on to the Dental Practice Heroes Sexy Six.
Six sexy questions.
What is your favorite quote and what does it mean to you?
My favorite quote is, "He who listens to the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." I've sort of had that as a life saying of trying to seek out people, whether it's in person or podcasts or books, to learn from and not try to go with the fads and all that, because it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been good.
Very good. What are you reading right now?
I just started another historical biography by David McCulloch. He's one of my favorite authors, and I think it's one of his first ones. It's on Truman, and it is huge. I mean, I was surprised at how big it is, but he writes wonderfully engaging histories on Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and lots of different people, so I'm looking forward to it.
Do you find you get intimidated by a really, like, thick book?
I do. I got to break it down and just take little bits at a time. Otherwise, it's like, oh, man, this is going to take forever.
Yeah, there was a period in my life where just reading a lot of leadership, communication books, and I was like, I'm going to read some classics. I read The Old Man and the Sea, and then I bought War and Peace, and that's a big book. I didn't finish it.
I read Moby Dick one summer when I was a night counselor, and it was like, it was brutal. So
yeah,
I came up with the definition of a classic as a book that nobody will read unless it's assigned, which is not true, but
yeah,
it felt that way.
Well, it's funny. The Old Man and the Sea was assigned to me in high school, and I hated it. I read it as an adult. I loved it. I thought it was great, but it's different. It's different when you're assigned to it, I guess. If it's assigned, you read it. All right, recommend a book that all dentists should read.
It's a great book on leadership. It's not a big book. It's not real hard. It's called Integrity by Dr. Henry Cloud. He's a psychologist. And it's not integrity in the sense of being honest. It's integrity in the sense of that your life is integrated, that it's whole versus compartmentalized. And he has a great illustration of a boat. Your crew is a boat, and you have two wakes. One is things you've gotten done, and then how you've treated people. And you can do the tasks and run over people, or you can be nice all the time and not get anything done, and just how to balance the two and through integrating who you are and your values. It's a great book.
Fantastic. I recommend a seminar or continuing education.
I just went through a workshop on cultural intelligence. I think it's called the Cultural Intelligence Institute, and it's on understanding life in our multi-ethnic, multicultural society and how to think about things that you don't understand why this group does that or that they do this and it irritates you. I just found it really thought-provoking and helpful. So that would be good.
Yeah, my wife is 100% Italian and her family is from Italy. And there's a lot of questions where I'm like, why do they do that? And they say, because they're Italian. Just stop asking questions. It's because they're not from here. They think differently. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're right.
There you go.
They definitely do. Yeah. That's the truth. All right. Please share an analogy that you use to communicate an idea to a client.
I found the oil machine a good one. But here's another one about appreciation. They're sort of like vitamins, okay? That appreciation, it's not going to change your life all of a sudden, but it's sort of like putting the structural things you need in place to be healthy. So you take a vitamin daily versus if you take a mega dose, that's not, and then you don't take any for 2 months, it doesn't help. So if you throw a big party and do everything, but they never hear anything positive. So I think appreciation can be like taking vitamins and helping your body grow healthy and helping your organization grow healthy.
I love that. Little vitamin A, little vitamin appreciation. Excellent. All right, if you had three pieces of advice for a new dentist or soon-to-be graduate or future practice owner, I'd say, what would they be?
This is personal value, but I would say go and work under somebody that's successful and learn from them versus going out on your own right away and trying to make it happen. I think you're going to be far more successful in the long run learning from somebody who's doing it, and you can watch it, see how they do it, and you learn what they don't. But don't just try to go on your own right away. Did you say three pieces?
Three, yep. Two more.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Dig.
Second one. Be a life learner. It doesn't have to be books, but books or podcasts or videos. There's a lot of cool things on YouTube just about life as well. But be a lifelong learner. You don't have it all together. I don't care how bright you are. Cognitive intelligence only really gets you so far. I mean, emotional intelligence, social intelligence are key. And I would say the third piece is be humble and look for the things that you can learn from people around you, regardless of their position in life or at work. There are a lot of very cool people that just have a cool life that aren't necessarily successful business-wise, but they've got a great family, or they sort of got it together as far as the meaning and purpose of their life, and they enjoy every day. So learn from anybody around you.
That's reminded me of like a Ralph Waldo Emerson quote of, every man I meet in my walks has something along the lines, has something to teach me. There's something to learn from every single person I meet. I love that. Well, Dr. White, thank you so much for spending time with our listeners. I mean, this was a great episode. And this was, I'm hoping this was very different for a lot of people to hear, because a lot of times we're talking about nuts and bolts of dentistry. And this, I think this is some of the nuts and bolts that we're completely neglecting. And I personally believe, from believing in culture at a dental practice, that this is the big stuff that we're taking courses and we're learning how to like do root canals and do implants. And I think we need to spend a little bit more time in this department. So thank you so much for what you're providing to everybody and in your mission. I think it's fantastic. And I really just appreciate you coming on the show.
Sure, Paul. Thanks. I really enjoyed the conversation.